Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our two-part interview with Tom Donnan as we discuss his new book, One Door Between Us. If you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up because it was awesome, and it just gets better today. Amen? So we're going to take up with the interview where Tom had just completed telling us what he calls his Cliff Notes version of the book. Here's Tom Donnan.
And so that is the Cliff Notes, you know, kind of like. And
it's funny. Let me interrupt you real quick. You know, I loved how you said, I don't want to, you know, talk about the ending and stuff. I was doing an interview. I can't remember the guy's name. Mark Hamby, I think it is. He's the founder of what's called Lamplighter Theater, and it's a children's ministry. It's on Evangelism Radio every Saturday morning. But he came up with this new series, something about the Giants, and I was interviewing about that. And he's, you know, building up. And, says, and then you want to know what happens next? He goes, yeah. He goes, you got to listen. Yeah. You, when you do that, I'm drawing. Yeah. And now you got to get the book to find out.
Yeah.
Good job, man. You got some training there. Well, I tell you.
Keep the suspense. Get people drawn in, sucked in.
Amen.
You know? Amen. Yeah, because, well. I have about 100 books out there right now where people are reading them. And I'll tell you what, it's the hard part is that there are so many books out there and there's so much information.
Yeah.
But I did have the second pastor that I'm writing about. She says, well, Tom, you write so different from anybody else that I've read. I'm sure this is going to work out. And that's a message that's kind of hard. How do you get people to understand that this is different, right?
Right.
So I have two reviews that I'll share with you. I've only gotten a couple of them. A blog that I had been on, they had asked for giveaways. So I had given away four books. Mm-hmm. And one person, and this is in the Christian community, one lady had written back and she had said, she said, I found that it was very interesting, but it challenged me. I have to think about this stuff about the healing. She said, and some of the things that you talked about, I don't think were available in 1964, but I had gotten this right from the source. So, and she said, but the healing I have to think about. And then the other review is that it was from a pastor down in Louisiana. And she goes, Tom, she says, I could feel the anointing flowing right through me. She said it was so absolutely amazing. And it prompted her to reread my other books.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Yeah. So you have such a wide range to where one was challenged to think about the supernatural and the healing. And then you have the other one that feels the presence of God so strongly in her life and in her room that she is challenged to go reread the other stuff. And then, of course, she sees stuff new in the other books because now the eyes are opened, you see.
Amen.
And so that's what's different with the books. Now, I'll get myself out there on a limb again. You know, I like it when the Holy Spirit flows with spiritual life from the things that I have written because he has guided me to write them.
Right,
Well, and that's the point.
This is also you said it's a fiction book, but how much creative license did you use in writing this book?
Well, it's probably about 60-40, you know. And this is a good thing to be able to explain. You see, what would happen is that I would call, have an interview, and I would write three chapters. I would send it to the pastor and her husband for the review, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would say, "Oh, Tom, this isn't me at all." And so I would have to adjust it and make some changes, and then call them and have another interview, and then start the process. So I'm writing three chapters, sending it to them, getting it back, and it's 50 chapters. So you can see how many phone calls we've had. No. And so, that's why I wanted that they have the number 50, because if you know biblically what the number 50 is, and I'm not going to shout it out, you know, there's a certain significance to that. Mm-hmm. The editor wanted to shorten it, and I said, no, you can't shorten it. It's on purpose, you know? And so,
that's the basis of a book.
Yeah. So there was times, you know, there was times that she was busy, and I couldn't reach her, and so I'm stuck. I'm stuck because I got no outline by which to go ahead and write some more. And so that is the thing is that I would take the information about what had happened and I would write the information down and then create the story around them. And I had another pastor who's in Indiana. He had read the book and he goes, Tom, I've been to a lot of these places you talked about and it was absolutely amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was the fun part. And sometimes I feel like, wow, I feel like I lived during 1964 in Farmington, New Mexico. Amen. But some of those things, some of the stories that are in there have been in my life, other people's lives. And for those that are going to go ahead and get a copy of the book, the thing here is that first chapter is really over the top, you know. But it's true. It's in a sense, I did creative license, but it happened to a pastor that I know.
Yeah, amen.
That's how I wrote it. Is because I wrote his experience in there.
Amen. So it's a fictional, fact-based book.
Based on a true story, yes.
Based on a true
with creative story. License, yeah. About 60-40.
Amen. 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 Now, why do you feel that this is the time for this book to come out, for the people to see, you know, the manifestation of God? How's that book going to make that, how's that get accomplished?
Well, I got two thoughts. My face is cringing because, man, you just opened up a door that's big, you know?
And so we're not on video.
So. Whoa, yeah. It would have seen me grimacing, my eyes squinching, you know, like in excitement. Oh, boy, I can't believe you just did that. No. And so the thing here is that in America, we do not see a manifest God,
no.
You see? And so through this book, there is the manifestations of God over and over and over again. And there's no doubt that God is with this family and seeing how he goes before them, you know? And so that is important because once you have an experience, nobody can talk you out of it. It's not an opinion. It's an experience. And
that's
therefore,
right.
Experience trumps opinion,
yeah.
No? And I want people to see that there is a manifest God, that when we call on him, he's going to respond, and then it's going to be in a way that is going to be tangible. And once that happens, sometimes people are going, ooh, you know, I don't know if I like this because it is so real. That, but then that's the beginning. That's the beginning of experiencing God. Now, the other part is about the plan of salvation. There's a lot of different ideas about the plan of salvation out there. And that's why I listened to how this had happened in her life, and then I drew the scriptures that would illustrate how clearly this has taken place and then how it affected her life and how moving down the road, you know, then the changes. Because once you're saved, you're going to have spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Over and over again, they went with the growth as a family. It was absolutely amazing. There's sometimes you can have one that is grown and the other one stuck, and mm-hmm. It becomes a tug of war, but that didn't happen in this house. And so, and how it had affected them. And then, of course, I follow the main character, which is Ariel, and then how the supernatural followed her and how she had received her own healing. And I like I said, I like to weave the angelic in there and the Holy Spirit and the different aspects for people to be able to grasp, because we need it. We need that today to where people can say, wow, I thought about angels, but I never really encountered something like this before.
Yeah.
Because we need that to happen, because there's a void. There's a void that leaves just opinion and thought. And we need concrete examples and illustrations and experiences to be able to transform people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the problems, I guess, here in America, is that, one, people are acknowledging God through head knowledge, not heart knowledge, because they're not seeing the manifestations. They're not experiencing the supernatural. I mean, you know, when you understand God has already provided the healing, and you are, when you're sick, it's because, you know, sickness is the root of death. You know, sickness, if not treated, will lead to death. Death came because of the fall of man in the garden, the sin. So sickness is just a manifestation of the death of this world that we're already in. God's already healed that. I mean, he's provided a healing. And, you know, does that mean that, well, if you're just saying everybody gets healed? No, I didn't say that. Well, then it's God's will that some don't get healed. No. It's just like driving an old car. You know, you can patch that car together as much as you want. Something else is going to break, you know, because it's an old car. These bodies are just going to grow old and die. That does not mean that your spirit man inside can't give yourself a new engine that will keep you running for another 20 years, you know. But
exactly.
That is the work of God. You know, I mean, just like you take your car to a good mechanic who can rebuild that engine and make it run for 20 more years, if you take it to me, well, you might as well just call a tow truck now. Because, you know, I cannot do it, okay? Yeah. But, you know, that, do you see that? That most people, especially Americans, have not been exposed to the supernatural, like, healing power of God? You know, and why do you bring that out in your book? Why is that?
Well, okay, part of it is because I have seen what God wants to do in the American church. And then he brought me to travel with Pastor Phil Corbett, who has a healing revival ministry. It's called Second Wind Ministries, for anybody who wants to check out his website. And he has books that has touched pastors' lives all across America and throughout in different places of the world. And so I have traveled with him, and I have seen hundreds of people instantly healed, and I have seen people delivered. And so I have a favorite story where we're down in Harlingen, Texas, and it was healing night. It was the fourth night of the meetings, and it was healing night. And he tells him, he says, get him in here any way that you need to. If you need to bring him in on a stretcher, get him in on a stretcher, you know. So they brought in a man in a wheelchair. So this woman, the husband and wife, she was wheeled in. She pushed him in the wheelchair. He's 73 years old. He had a stroke when he was 70. He's been stuck in the wheelchairs for the last 3 years. But as they're coming in, Pastor Phil gets a word of knowledge that she has kidney problems. So they do the service, and comes prayer time, and people are coming forward, and he wants to get to the woman because he knows God wants to do something because he was revealed to him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she pushes him up there, and he places his hand on the man's head and says something really short like, God, please heal him, and, you know, moves on to the good stuff that he's anticipating, right? So I'm right behind the wheelchair, and I see the guy struggling to get up. Now, he's got like his right side, I think it was his right side and his right leg that hadn't been working for a while, and he struggles and he gets up out of the wheelchair.
Amen.
No? And he starts walking around, and Phil glances over him and gets back to praying for the lady, and he's kind of like got one eye on him, but I'm right behind him. If he's going to fall, I'm going to bump him in the back of the legs with the wheelchair so he flops down in the wheelchair. No? And then his daughter catches sight of what's going on. She's in the back. She comes running up. Dad, get in the wheelchair. Get in the wheelchair. So he sits down in a wheelchair, and she brings him to the back of the church. But, you know, he's dead. He is not going to tolerate this. So he gets up out of that wheelchair, and he grabs a hold of the end of the pew, and he works his way forward one pew at a time. He's shaking everybody's hand because he's out of the chair.
Amen.
You know? He was ecstatic because he got his life back. He got his use of his limbs back,
Amen.
You know, and that was very exciting. And then for myself, I had two heart attacks, and the second one was pretty bad, a widowmaker. Of course, that's when I died, and God threw me back because I wasn't a keeper. And so I have MRI showing heart damage, and I got MRI showing no heart damage. And Amen. The thing is that when that healing took place, I had no manifestation. I had heard a roaring wind in the above me, and the next thing I know, my heart is beating two chambers instead of the one because of the heart damage. Mm-hmm. So I know that healing is available, and I know that this message needs to get out that God still does it. And this is why I like the Assembly of God, because the church is poised for this type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's in their foundation of faith. You know, there's 16 fundamental truths. Divine healing is in there. It's so, but now, when Pastor Phil is in there and he's the host pastor sees the supernatural happen, you know, it's like their eyes get big, and it's you can see the thought on their face, and it goes, "You mean there's more? Yeah, there's a lot more."
Amen. Yeah. When I opened our church back in 2001 2001 or 2002, my dad came down for the opening of the church. And, you know, he's, you know, I've been praying for him for many years, let's put it like that. And he'd had 4 quadruple bypasses.
Wow.
And over a span of like 10 years. And the doctors told him, he said, there is no fifth. There, you know, that's it. Your heart is too badly damaged. It's just not going to happen. And he was on nitroglycerin pills, taking half a dozen a day every day.
Oh, wow.
Right. And he came down there, and I'm preaching, you know, the first sermon and all that. And I just stopped. And I looked right at him and said, Dad, God can heal your heart right now today if you'll give your heart to him. And, you know, we gave the invitation. My dad came forward. We prayed for him, and he received Jesus as a Savior and went back. He was staying at our house, and we were at my daughter's house that night, and his tooth just suddenly just became so inflamed. I mean, it was, you know, my daughter worked at the emergency room, so she took him to the emergency room, and they said, well, you got an abscessed tooth. And we can't touch it because of your heart condition, you know, because you might have a heart attack. If we just even give you an injection of something, you might have a heart attack. So you're going to have to go home and see your own doctor. So he left the next morning, drove back from Maryland back to Michigan, made an appointment the following day to see his dentist. Dentist told him the same thing and said, I can't do anything until you get clearance from your cardiologist. So then he had to make an appointment to see his cardiologist. So in the meantime, he's gone like 4 or 5 days with his abscessed tooth. Can't eat, nothing. Got in there, and the cardiologist said, well, you know, let's go ahead and give you a stress test, and we'll see, you know, how bad the damage is. He got in there and says, he came back in, and they took sonograms and all this stuff, the nuclear, you know, tests and all that. Hey, but Bob, if I wasn't the one who did all of your surgeries, I would swear you have a brand new heart. You know? He goes, there is nothing wrong. And he had that. He had stopped taking, without even realizing, he had stopped taking the nitroglycerin pills the day I prayed for him, right?
Wow.
And he lived another, you know, he continued to smoke, and he developed lung cancer and died like 4 years later. But because he refused to have it operated on. He goes, nope, God did it once. If he wants to do it, he can do it again. <You know? laughs> But he didn't.
All right.
You know, I mean, I seen that, and I know what his background was. And his cardiologist, like, you know, this is a miracle. You know, there is absolutely, is if I was just comparing these charts side by side, there's no way I would have been able to identify this as you, you know?
Yeah, this is a very similar story to where the cardiologist that I have is a good Christian man. And after the second MRI, he walks in and he says, well, we're taking you off of the Coumadin and a couple other medications because you don't need it. I can't explain it, Tom, but you don't need it.
Amen. Oh. Glory to God. Well, tell us how this book, I mean, I know you said it's 50 chapters, but how did you use this book as the first one in the series?
Well, because of the fact that I actually cut it short, believe it or not, 76,000 words. A novel is, they say, you know, starts at 80,000. So I'm right on the cusp of this, you know, and I had to hold it back. You know, I could have continued on with the information in the storyline, you know, of her story, but I wanted to get into the next person, which I have already 11 or 12,000 words written for the next person, and her life is just as amazing as the first person. Yeah. And I had to stop because now we're into the marketing aspect, we're into the interviews and other aspects of this, so I had to stop. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm trying to get credentialed, like they themselves got credentialed late in life. Yeah. And so, but now I need to get back to it because her story is just as incredible, but I do it with a different twist. It has more creative license in it to be able to illustrate the supernatural side and to be able to draw that out. And so, and then I will get to the third person, which then I will incorporate because she came in so much later, I believe, that I can focus on how I did bring Pastor Phil and myself into the meetings and how their lives were changed, because their goal is to see the supernatural happen in America like they experience outside the country. Isn't that something?
Yeah, amen. So you're going to be in the series as well. Now, who's playing you in the movie?
Whoa! I don't know. I would have to think about that for a while. Yeah.
Hey, man, that's awesome, man. This is just great. Folks, you need to get this book. I mean, it is going to be, and then stay in touch. Subscribe to Tom's, you know, information, because you will be notified when the next book comes out. And, you know, the important thing here is it's the Word of God. It may not be "Thus saith the Lord" and turn to, you know, Exodus chapter 3 or something like that. But the Word is woven throughout. And you can't help but recognize, if you're a born-again Christian, you can't help but recognize where God is moving in this story. It is going to be something that will... I mean, some people are like, well, I don't like reading. Okay, well, Tom has promised me that he's going to do an Audible book, right?
Oh, yeah, I am. Yeah.
You're going to read every word in that book, buddy, all 80,000 of them.
I need to listen to that interview. Where is it?
Glory, hallelujah. Oh, man, this is so good. I know you do, but I'm just going to ask this anyway. Do you believe God's going to be honored as people read this book and this book series?
From Pastor Becky's response and from Pastor Eddie's response, you know, when they were reading the book, it was as if the spiritual life was just flowing right out of the words from the books into their hearts and into their spirits, you know. And so that already shows me that God is up to something here. Amen. And, of course, the person that was challenged with the healing hasn't been exposed to healing very much. But that is the thing, is having the exposure to be able to grow. You know, and so you got both gamuts. You have the beginner, and then you have those that have experience. And so that's what I like about it. I've had pastors who have read Healing the Nation. They've read it 3 times, and they say they keep on finding new things there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I like, is that spiritual life that God allows to flow from the book into people's lives to be able to help them comprehend the spiritual atmosphere. We got time for a quick story?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I was down in Table Rock Lake. My cousins used to own a resort down there. I've been down there like 25 times with my family. Sisters, we used to go down on a siblings retreat down there for a couple of days. So the last time that I was down there, because of my spiritual sensitivity, I have to pray that God would anoint the place where I sleep so that I can get a good night's rest. Otherwise, I'm not going to get a good night's rest because, evil wants to inhibit things. And so... So I had prayed the week before that God would anoint this place and cover it with the blood of Christ and station angels there for our protection. Okay.
Amen.
Well, the second night, my sister, who she's 82 now, but at the time she was about 78. And she's a chain smoker. I mean, she's so bad that she's got to get up in the middle of the night for a cigarette. Right.
Wow.
Okay. So she's in another cabin. And she's got a little porch out there that overlooks the pool, that overlooks the lake. And so she gets up and she goes out on the porch and she sees a being of light down at the pool. Mm. Right? She knows it's a man. She can see him, but she knows that it's spiritual in nature. Now, it gets her so unnerved that she didn't finish her cigarette. She puts it out halfway, right? So she's shook. So she goes back into the cabin, and now she's peeking out the curtains, and he's still there, you know. And so the thing was is that for the first time, I could speak to my sister on a supernatural level because she was allowed to see into the spiritual realm to where there was an angel assigned for our protection. No, and so that's the type of experience that God has allowed to flow through the book where other people have caught these type of experiences or knowledge. And that is what I want people to become, experiential, because it's there for us to be able to have in our relationship with the Lord. It's not just head knowledge, and not just heart knowledge, but it's experiential knowledge.
Amen, amen. That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of people will be like, well, I want to see an angel. I want to see supernatural. Yeah, don't ask for that, because the devil will hear it, and he's able to disguise himself as an angel of light. If you receive it, you know, and God says, you know, put it like this. The presence of God is described as the peace of God.
Yeah.
If there's any anxiety on your part, you're like, wow, what's that? Oh, God, no, I don't want to see this anymore. that's not peace.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will tell you whether or not, you know, they talk about, you know, woman's intuition and all that stuff, right? Think of that as God's presence inside of you. You know, well, something just told me that I shouldn't go to the store, wait 10 minutes. And then you go drive down the road and there's this huge 15-car pileup, right?
Yeah.
If you'd have left on time, guess where you'd be? But yeah. Because something told me not to do it. That's the presence of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Tom's talking about here. You know, the Holy Spirit himself, there'll be an angel. And what's the Bible say about angels? They'll whisper in your ear, this is the way, walk ye in it, if you try and turn to the right or to the left. Yeah. That's the ministry of angels and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. And
that is what you'll receive in Tom's book. Tom, this is awesome, man. Golly. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, oh, man.
Again.
I know it. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question, or maybe do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, there's two ways that I use primarily, and that is the Facebook page that I have is called Healing the Nation Ministries. They can get a hold of me through that Facebook page. And my email address is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
And what was that year? I mean, what was that again?
Yeah. I know.
That's the problem with the United States nowadays. They don't understand their history. But now, if you're on Amazon, you probably have an author page.
I do. Yes, I'm glad that you brought that up. Yes, there is an author page under Tom Donnan, and it illustrates the other books that I have. You alluded to something that is critically important: is that it is to have the right spiritual atmosphere before we open ourselves up to reaching out to God spiritually, and that is why I had written the book Spiritual House Cleaning, because I want the environment for people's lives, the best possible spiritual atmosphere before you move forward and you know, want to experience God. But of course, it's loving the Father and loving Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul that is the most critical.
Amen. Amen. Tom, it's been good again, buddy. We're all out of time. Folks, you need to get this book. I'm going to put links to all this in the show notes. I'm going to put a link to, you know, the Healing the Nation book, the One Door Between this book. He just mentioned the Spiritual Housekeeping book. That's an awesome book, too. I've read them. Oh, glory to God. You need to get a hold of this material, and you know, it will bless you. You cannot even begin to comprehend the blessing that God has in store for you if you'll allow Him to speak to you through this book. I mean, He's used Tom to write this story. Why? For His glory. Amen?
Yeah.
So get your copy by clicking the link in the show notes below. And Tom, we need to do this again, buddy. Oh, man. Whoa. I mean, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. I don't know how. Oh, where's this clock has to be broke. It can't be going that fast. For Tom Donner and myself, this is Pastor Bob to remind you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org.
Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.